everyone, and welcome to another episode of Living on Blockchain. Today we are speaking to Abhishek from Fabwelt. Fabwelt is a gaming platform, and they are bringing the best possible gaming experience for gamers. And they have a token as well. They are tinkering with NFTs and whatnot. Very interesting conversation we had with each other, where Abhishek talked about what are the future plans for Fabwelt and his take on the trends in the space. Can't wait for you guys to hear this deep dive right in.
Hi Abhishek, thank you so much for taking out the time to speak to me today. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi Tarusha. I'm doing very well. Thanks for asking. It's a beautiful time to be in this space, and I'm very much thankful for you to be so kind to invite me to speak to your audience and let them know what's going on in blockchain and gaming.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think it's a wonderful time to be in gaming, and then on top of it in Web3 gaming. It's very exciting times indeed. So for our audience, can you tell us a little about yourself, Abhishek, and how you got into Web3?
Yes, absolutely. So let me be totally honest. I got into this because of total greed. I was basically an engineer working in Europe. And, I wanted to earn quick money. And one of my friends introduced me to stocks. And I was like, 10% is not going to get me to millions. And then the other one talked to me about crypto and how I can make a 100x or 1000x by investing into it. And it was good. I started investing, but then somewhere down the line, it changed my life. When I read a Twitter post from one of my, I would say, mentor. He said that there are more opportunities in the space when you create something or when you develop something than investing into it. So
right.
I sold everything. And because I thought if I'm into it, and I would just be looking at my coins, but not, understanding what innovations or what I could develop and, provide something new to the community. And I sold everything, went to zero. And I started, learning and reading about blockchain. I had a lot of time during weekends. And that's how I ended up, I met one of my partner, who is my founder right now in Netherlands. We shared our ideas and we gave ourselves 365 days, and I think it's going well. So that's how I entered into this space.
Okay, awesome. It's quite a, a typical journey of a lot of folks who had, taking the leap from, say, Web2 to Web3, that initially it was the money, but then, they kind of stayed for the technology.
Yeah.
So tell me a little about Fabwelt and what it is doing currently, and how can our, listeners get involved?
Yeah, absolutely. The name goes sometime very long, about a decade. And I was trying to get recognition to this name. Did try a lot of other stuff when I was back in Germany, to open up my own company, but it didn't work. But then I think it's destiny somewhere down the line. But now, Fabwelt is, the meaning of Fabwelt is fab is fabulous and wealth means world. So it's a fabulous world. And we are a gaming company now. And we are developing this world of gaming, which is integrated with blockchain to provide an extra dimension to the gamers. And so, we have very simple ideas. Our core ideas is to provide good products on the blockchain gaming side, because we see, there's a bit of missing, or let's say there are the product side on the gaming is poor on the blockchain. So we are trying to improve that, and we did create a bit of impact. Our first game called as Arsenal. I would say, according to me, I'm being, a bit biased as well. It is one of the best looking blockchain games on the chain. Probably I could even say it is the best looking blockchain game on the chain. So that's how we started our journey back in 2020. And, Arsenal was even elected as top 10 blockchain game of 2022. And that gave us a bit of motivation, which eventually helped us pursue our second core idea, which is to create an ecosystem of gaming, meaning not only one game, but a bucket of games, let's say every category of gaming, And
Okay.
we started developing more games, expanded our team. So we launched our second game, which is called as H2O. It's again a fresh game and kind of a new category game. It's a it's a water-based boat racing game. And so on. We are going to release our third game next month. So this is how we are trying to create a good utility for our token and also provide that pleasure and the fun that gamers were missing on the blockchain currently.
Awesome, awesome. So tell me a little about how this particular gaming platform that you're building, how is it different from the others in space?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to be honest, it's the category is gaming. So,
Okay.
what the initial thing was, we would want to build a game which is much more focused on how the gameplay, the depth of gameplay, and how it looks and how it feels, rather than going to the financial system where the token would, provide you a lot of gains. So that was the first step. We did different than others because during our time, most of the games were focused on how are we going to make the game more business model driven, where the company itself is going to benefit a lot rather than the gamers. So this is how we separated ourselves from the others. But then we really do believe in a collaborative space where we think we want others also to do really very well and do maybe like us. But then there are certain things which it comes out of the company's, let's say, nature and the policies that we try to innovate at every step in terms of development and in terms of making our products. And due to that, we have so many unique features within the game itself, how the game behaves and how everything is structured around the game. But on top of that, doing a kind of a multi-gaming platform itself was a new idea back then. I mean, there were a lot of other ideas similar, but they were all on paper. And currently, I'm only aware about two or three gaming studios which are doing, multi-gaming platforms. And probably we are the first ones to do high-end games because there are others who are doing, but those are most hyper-casual games. I mean, that's also fine as long as the audience or the community enjoys it. And now we have taken a kind of a different step in how we use the blockchain into our gaming ecosystem. So, the most important stuff is NFTs, and NFTs are the heart of gaming. So we have a kind of a universal NFT layer structure, wherein you can take one NFT or use
Okay.
any NFT from game A to game B. And so
Okay.
on to it carry forwards to every game. This is not new, but how we do inside the game, it's new, and how we interrelate each category of NFTs to other games is something very interesting for us and for the gamers as well.
So this is basically an interoperable layer for NFTs that you guys have created, wherein the NFT from one game can be transported into another game as well. Is that
Yeah,
correct?
absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. So all of these games that are there currently on the platform, have they all been created by you and your team, or is it that you try to collaborate with indie game developers as well?
No, yes, it's created by us, fully developed in-house, which is something that we had in mind from very beginning because we did have a bit of Web2 gaming experience early on, and we were a studio, but not kind of commercial one, and we did learn a lot of lessons of how do we do the development part, but we are very much open to collaborate with indie developers and any other who want to collaborate with us, who would like to collaborate with us, but currently we are not looking into it or entertaining that part because we would like to have about 7 to 10 games done by us, and when we are sure our token economy is going on the positive side, I think that would be the time when we can take in our partners and work with third party companies.
Awesome. No, that kind of wonderfully makes sense. Can you tell me a little about how your token plays into this economy?
Oh yes, so we have a single token system. We do not have a host or a main token and a utility token. So There were a lot of questions asked in the past, where the host token, if you earn, it'll dump, and so many things. But we did our mathematics and our economics well, I believe, because until now we did not really face any kind of negative token economics, I would say statistics or trends. We try to keep our token economy to zero. And how do we use it? Basically, the token is used in the game to get access to the games. Of course, the games are free to play. That is one of the benefits of our gaming ecosystem. I mean, you don't even have to connect to your wallets. You can just start playing. But yeah, if you have to experience the blockchain part, you have to connect your wallet. And then, like for example, you need to redeem your earnings. You need a basic token deposit in your main wallet so that you can redeem. So that is one way you get access to games. And then, of course, you will be able to buy all these, variety of NFTs inside the game, used inside the game, or you get access to various levels by using the NFTs, which are bought by Welt. And there's a staking mechanism which offers layering, and we call it as multipliers, which improves your earning part in the game. So you have to stake well to get access to them. That is one. And every game has its own utility. Like for example, in our first game, you can enter into tournaments by paying with Welt. You can gain access to special weapons by paying with Welt, for example. And so on, these utilities continue to the other games. For example, in the second, you buy boats as NFTs with Welt. So yeah, every game has its own. And it's very basic and simple how we use Welt in our ecosystem, and just making sure that the outgoings are lesser than the incomings, and we are good.
Okay, so security and transparency, they become important, right? Now, nowadays, I think more conversation is around a lot of security and just in general having transparency because there are people of all ages on these platforms. How are you ensuring, these two things on FabVault?
Yes, absolutely. This is why this space is such wonderful, because it's so transparent, but it's still not secure. The security thing has to be improved, and when something is online over the internet, it does face a lot of breaching problems. So now I'll talk about transparency first. I think we are one of the most transparent out there. Everything about us is live. You can find any information, absolutely everything, even the wallets, on the Gitbook. But if any other information is missing, and if someone comes and asks us, we provide them, every part of it, with all proofs, and we make sure that every user is comfortable in getting into their investments or planning for any kind of investments. With security, it's really tough because it's a gaming platform, and of course, crypto being so exposed, we really have to make sure that we are always alert. In terms of in terms of our contract, all our contracts are audited, and we kind of come in a AAA category on a renowned audit company named Assertic. So that's sorted over there. But it really comes down to how much is our game secure, because that's where the attacks can happen more. And our team, it works almost 24 by 7 on it. And I think since past 12 months, the security has gone. We had a attack. It did give us a new way of thinking how we can make it more secure. I can say until now, no one was able to penetrate it so deep that we had serious concerns or a loss of tokens or NFTs or any other assets. So yeah, it's doing really very well. And if someone really wants to get into technicalities, we are really open to provide everything that they want to or learn from us.
Awesome. Brilliant. So that's one concern addressed. People, they do have concerns about scalability when it comes to, the gaming industry as well, that after a point, it's a little hard to scale. How does your tokenomics as well as your platform, how do you intend to address that?
So I mean that this issue is more for the for the blockchains which are operating right now, mostly the layer ones. But if I'm talking about scalability issues in terms of gaming, you know, for us, it's more of like really going into looking into more cross-chain gaming, because what happens is sometimes we do really face a lot of congestion issues in let's say blockchain A. So having a game which can run on more chains allows our players to have options and do not get you know, let's say irritated or logged on something which is not performing well. But of course, you know, our tokenomics is designed in such a way that we feel it's prompt for our ecosystem, but then it would become scarce in the coming future, which is actually good and which will kill you know, any negative dynamics going towards the tokens after we see a good run happening.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That's sensible. So what is the next big milestone for you guys?
Oh yes, you know, 2022 has been a very bad and a very good year for crypto. You know, because the bad has taught us something very good, that we have decided most of the things, let's say from bridging to marketplaces, anything that we were, you know, dependent on our partners. We still do believe many of them, most of them, or all of them are really very good, but we have, you know, seen something unbelievable happening in this space, and we also were victims of one of that, could say, malfunction of a company or attack on a company. So we decided to do everything in-house, and not only games, but the games running on the blockchain will be in-house. So we are going to develop our own blockchain. We finished the documentation, but it's really going to be a good task, because you know, just to build a blockchain, it's not really very tough. But we want to do something very different, which you know is kind of benefiting mostly to the community, and or let's say is removes all the anomalies that currently the blockchain world is facing. So it's a huge task to take upon ourselves. But yeah, that's one of the major thing. And there is, you know, gamers do love to interact and communicate a lot, and they really would love to be very social, though not doxed or not real faces. But yeah, something that they like. So we are building something called as a gamers portal, and it's one of a kind, because it is your digital safe, wherein you can have all your assets, your tokens, secured and safe. It gives you information about all your past history, your gaming statistics, how much you have invested, what you should do, what you should avoid, maybe not avoid, maybe improve on. And then a social media platform wherein you can interact with other gamers. You can post anything that you have achieved, etc., etc. And of course, a separate a section where you will be able to see news about what happened in the past with our games, what is going to come up, what games are going to launch, etc., etc. So everything on at one place. So that is something interesting we are building. We have begun it. We were working on the design since past 2 quarters. That is going to be very interesting in the coming run. And obviously, you know, more games and much interesting games, larger games. Yeah, these are like, you know, I could say the highlights.
Awesome. So what about like chains? Like how many chains are you currently live on?
We are currently live on Polygon and Binance chain, but we really
Okay.
were working on more than 8 chains, and we were looking into their performance and how it suits us as our gaming structure. But then really, this is the situation I was mentioning earlier, that we were victims of one of the recent scams or attacks, whatever you can say. It's from Uniswap or multi-chain. It's the biggest bridge, and it got
Hacked,
hacked.
right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
so we really could not you know, have our bridges live. So currently we're looking into other options. Once that is fixed, I think new chain should be live probably next quarter.
Okay. So your chain would be live by the next quarter.
My no. Our chain, if I have to, put everything into it, we can finish it by next year end. But I think, we would be needing about 18 months or, even
Okay.
24 months for the chain to be live on mainnet.
All right. Okay. And is this an EVM compatible chain that you guys are building up?
We would like to do that. Yeah, because that's
Okay.
the most convenient for everyone.
Right. Yeah, that is true. And then adoption is slightly easier, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you guys are aiming to create a high-end gaming ecosystem, right? What can, say, the user expect, and how will this compare to a traditional gaming platform?
Ah, okay. Yes. If I can be very, very honest, we are very far, far away. Not we, entire blockchain is far away from the traditional gaming or what we see as, the top games in the world. They are just brilliant, and to reach that level will, if a studio like us is going to work right now, will take a good amount of time. So I actually would like to see, all the big studios to switch to blockchain gaming. That would drive ma even mass adoption. It'll bring a lot of confidence. But then really, the edge that blockchain studios have is, they are really acquainted now, or let's say on the verge of becoming experts of how blockchain can be integrated to these games, because it is easy to say, yeah, we can integrate blockchain to games, but if a game that size in depth of the gameplay is done, it really requires a lot of research, planning, thinking, and development as well. So I think that's one threshold we have. That's why large games are difficult to integrate with blockchain. You might see, many, many games which are small. We can do it over a night, but as the game size increases, a lot of elements becomes alive when it's integrated over the blockchain. So that's the challenge. So probably, we can collaborate with the studios, and of course, they are well equipped to have their own team. But yes, that's something we would want to be ahead when we are facing the giants coming onto the chain, that our games are equally good enough to face theirs, but we are having this edge of knowing the how the behavior of blockchain happens with the games, and we are able to work with them together. Or it can also happen that they fail miserably. Like, it did really happen that one man took over the entire automotive industry in Europe, who were the pioneers for probably an entire century. So it can still happen with any technology, if the others are not willing to respect it.
Right, obviously, that a single strong entity can ruin it for a lot of other smaller players. That totally makes sense. Tell me, in terms of this conversation would not be complete unless I talked a little about AI, because everybody's talking about AI. So, in terms of generative AI and gaming, what is your take?
Yeah, absolutely. This is something very interesting. AI is absolutely like metaverse. Metaverse was there with us since some time. Basically, every game, if you integrate it with blockchain, it's a metaverse, and it did take a lot of hype because of, Facebook becoming Meta or whatever. But I'm pretty sure 90% of us do not really understand what the basics are. So even with AI, just
Right.
because AI is now, directly interacting with us, face, I mean, one to one, there is this hype. But I've been into AI since more than about 15 years now, and AI is just not, us helping by typing a question. But AI is a lot of other stuff, wherein a human is not involved, or probably was involved and is not involved in the output. But I really feel, humans who are using AI will replace humans who are not using AI eventually. So AI will not replace us. Humans will replace humans who are using AI better. So and it's a great tool. It's something, I mean, I'm re really talking about recent GPTs. how they are helping humans to transform and perform efficient and better. We really need to get on top of it, because sometimes it is very, very efficient in terms of timing resources and also improving overall quality of the work. So we do have AIs in our game, and I'm not talking about ChatGPTs or Google Bards, but you know, AI in terms of how the bots perform and how the bots react to real human behavior, which is translated into let's say game behavior. So AI is everywhere. AI was there since now about 2-3 decades into our lives. So I think it's going to stay, of course.
And in terms of, like, you know, generative AI and creation of games, do you feel that it's going to have a significant impact on the gaming industry?
Yeah, I've been, you know, we have discussed, I was discussing this with my founder, and he was like, you know, AI, currently now AI is a mix of history, and AI does what humans have done in the history and takes that and probably does it better. But currently now, maybe I can be wrong after we see AI development in the next decade, but it is really very hard to design a game that you have it in your brain and you want to custom design it, and AI will never be able to do that. This is just from my experience, because how we structure the game, AI can give you templates, but AI cannot really make a game which can reach the masses and customize to that level. I have seen, you know, as AI building simple games, and probably this is first step. AI will build complex games, but yeah, gaming is a lot of imagination, and that is really tough to do. Only humans can do that.
Right, absolutely. There is that it's like being a, you know, storyteller, right? You know, you get those. AI can perhaps be only as good as a storyteller as the prompts and imagination. Yeah, so all of that kind of comes down to people.
Yeah, you know, probably now it's 6 months or let's say a few months. You can really now, let's say if you have asked a question somewhere in your chat, or let's say if you read an article, you can really tell if it's AI written article or it's an article written by a human. And likewise in many other stuff as well in designs. Now I can tell it in seconds that this is done by AI. So originality will always come with innovations and imaginations. And yeah, that's why humans have to use AI really well. They have to give the prompts really well, that the imaginations are brought into life or into real faster than humans have done before. That's the only way we can use AI now.
Right, absolutely. So now moving on from AI, I would like to, because, you know, ultimately what you do have is a sort of a marketplace, right? So building a marketplace comes with its own set of challenges. Like on one side, you have to sort of work on the product. And even though right now you're not taking external help of developers and you're building these games in-house, at some point you will be taking help from these developers as well as like bringing in users. So this is like a chicken and an egg problem. How have you been able to solve this for Fabric?
Okay, I'm trying to understand this question, because we really are not a marketplace, but I do understand what you exactly mean.
I'm saying that in some point, like, because you are looking at collaborations, right, with
Absolutely.
Developers, and then at that point, you will turn into a marketplace. Right now, obviously, you're making these internally, so all you have to get are the users and make sure that your product is working fine.
Yeah.
But moving on, when you're getting other developers, and, you know, you'll also have to get users, do you have, like, a strategy to crack the chicken and an egg problem?
In terms of user acquisition, yes, we do have. There are a lot of methods. There are a lot of ways people have tried. I have spoken to hundreds and thousands of them. But I've failed a lot. And this is where I failed the most. And I was very happy about
Right.
it, because I really now know what can work and what can't work. But we have
Right.
a very, very, to be honest, you know, very strange way, but very unique way of user acquisition. Very cheap way. Probably it's because of where I come from and what I've seen. And like it's working, it's really working good for us. But I do really believe, I know it's a world of marketing, and you really have to be up there to express your product. But you know, I still believe that if you do not have a product, it's really not a, you can make money, of course, but it will not give you peace, or it will not really give you that quality of in your career if you don't build good products.
That's true.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it
So
has to be a good product, right? Then,
yeah.
you can then perhaps stand, have a strong standing to resolve any problem that might arise.
Yeah, absolutely. See, I mean, I've seen very pathetic products doing maybe, I don't know, 100 times better than us, or as a matter of fact, any other product having, sorry, any other company having very bad products but doing really very well. That's really because of how they have branded themselves or marketed themselves. I totally have nothing against them, because probably their aim is to earn money, and that really serves the purpose. But yeah, so we try to, you know, make our products really very well, and I wouldn't say still they are like the quality that we require. Even I would say we are very, very far from what I really want them to be. But in comparison to what we get from others, they're really very good. They're absolutely, in fact, brilliant. And when I have that, I can put my all my brain and heart into it to find the users who can love my product. And yeah, of course, there is success and failure, but currently the success rate is higher than failure rate, and it's improving. So that's really very good. When I come to the part where my product has to be completed, which is done by a team, let's say developers, artists, everyone involving around it. I really believe, out of every aspect in this world, that is the most important for me, and it should be for everyone else. If you do not really have a team, it is almost impossible to create something that can change the current market scenario. A very, very good team is actually needed, and if I can, you know, give my personal experience, it really came from my personal experience, because I really had good people in my life, and I
Right.
it was it became, you know, because of my corporate life, I failed there, and I failed very badly. So I knew what a poor employer can be. I mean, not in terms of their own stuff, but you know, every company needs to have a match. Like me working for Microsoft can be pathetic, but me working for Google can be a very big hit because of how the company performs. So I knew, I mean, who can be a bad fit, because I was a very, very bad employee for a couple of companies, and I did perform the worst. So I just tried to filter that out, and then the good things came
Right.
in front of me, and it really became a very essential part of our company to have the perfect match. Again, we failed there as well. We had to change few positions, but now we have probably one of the nicest team, though very small, very compact. That's something that I'm very proud of, and I would like to have more and more, so that we move forward quickly and improve in all possible ways.
Absolutely. I think that sounds wonderful. Building a team is ultimately very make or break factor when it comes to scaling any platform. Let's touch a little upon the community aspect. Like, how have you been able to, because I do think that creating a very solid community, especially around gaming and platforms like yours, can be very rewarding. So what has Fabverse done specifically for their community? And what would be your two cents if somebody is out there trying to build a community in this space?
Oh yeah. Normally in a Web2 company, they of course they do care about their consumers, or you know, the people who are using their product. But they really do not interact with them. In Web3, the beautiful part is we are always, you know, 24/7. We know what the community is, what the community behavior is. So that's kind of a blessing for us, because community is really a very integral part of our company, and you know, we are We are on Polygon, and Sandeep from Polygon said that community is CEO of the company, and I do really believe it. There are many, many things which our community decides for our company, though we do not have a governance or DAO. They do decide how our games are built. You know, we have an internal testers for every game. They decide everything, and we do not hire them. They are just community members who are with us, who wants to just support us. Just brilliant of them. And we try to, you know, improve almost everyone in our community who is associated with us, improve their lives in many ways, in how they should, you know, they should look at what's the future of the company. If they are into investments, we do not give them advices, but we give them honest answers of what's going to happen next. Do not keep them in a bubble, you know, by saying that, oh, we are doing something huge is coming. No, we just keep it real. This is what is happening. Now you decide. But we know if you give us more time, it will happen. And day before yesterday, I was saying we actually economical side, the token did really very well. And yeah, if that happens, any community, as a matter of fact, it becomes very, very positive and it's very live. But I've seen when we had the hardest times, there were people, of course, they get, you know, worried about their investments, and they start, you know, they start negative about not only us, crypto, blah, blah, blah. So we'd had very little of it. And I was saying yesterday, we have the most wonderful community out there. And I really believe it. It's just not for saying. I mean, since I was investing, I've been into many, many communities. I have not seen such beautiful community. We are small. I mean, we are about 100K across our socials. But just wonderful. You have to join our Telegram or Twitter, or the next possible would be, yeah, CoinMarketCap community. You see the comments over there. It's just wonderful. And that is the most that is the thing which gives us the most, you know, energy to perform and move forward. And sometimes we find time to go, not sometimes, you know, most of the times we do find time and go into the chats and have a chat with our community members, laugh at them and make some jokes, and then it gives us a bit of a couple of extra hours to, you know, work more.
Absolutely. I think a strong community and people who really have belief in you, they end up reinforcing our belief in ourselves. And we can come back stronger, right? So I think that's absolutely wonderful, you know, banking on a community and having these folks who are ready to not just use the product, but actually believe in the founders themselves.
Yeah.
So I completely agree there.
I missed something. You also asked me to say something about, you know, what should others do for having a good community, right? So, I mean,
right.
I'm really not an advice kind of guy, but as a colleague or a friend, I would just say, you know, keep your community the closest, because they are the ones who will build you, and that's what has been our case. And they do really build you, because if they are not there, whom are you building your products for? What are you going to do? And the second thing is, you can have a team of 100,000, you can have all the views, but when, let's say, 100,000 or 1 million communities coming and giving you their views, so many minds working together will, of course, give you an extra edge and something different to think upon and plan with your internal team.
Right. Yeah, I think that is absolutely true. Community is very, very important. And as a founder who's building in Web3, I think community and building the community, making sure that the community is engaged and value driven, become one of the bigger hallmarks of the company. So you know, you're absolutely bang on there. You know, this conversation has been so much freewheeling, so to say, that I've completely lost track of time. But I would like to ask one, you know, my penultimate question, perhaps. What would be your advice to folks who are trying to perhaps get into, you know, who want to perhaps build a game? What would be your 2 cents to them? Do you have any advice? Do you have any resources that they should look into, you know, the budding gaming developers?
Yes. See, I'll be honest, I'm not a developer, and I am I have developers who build games for me, but I do involve in the planning and how it should be. What I really understand from the world of gaming is the categories will not change. A shooting game, a racing game, probably we can innovate there as well. That is also wonderful if you do so. But I think, you know, the world needs something fresh. And if you can think of something marvelous, which has not seen before, you can turn out that into a game. I mean, it is very difficult to stop you to become pioneers because gamers are always in search of something new and something that gives them pleasure. So you cannot make a game boring. You cannot make them stuck in something that they find it difficult. Let the game be difficult, but yeah, allow them to, you know, increase their energy levels, their adrenalines, and let them tune their reflexes, how they think. So that everything is like that. It's like it's addiction, of course, and allow them to evolve in terms of how they can plan. That really affects how really plan outside that game, your life and stuff. And I could say, you know, I have a developer who is the lead developer for Arsenal, our game. He was initially an industrial engineer. So I mean, purely into mechanical stuff, an engineer, and
Right.
he turned out to be a game developer. And it's been less than 3 years, and now he's leading Arsenal. Arsenal is
Wow.
so complex now. We have had new developers coming in, and they quit in 1 month because they couldn't understand the structure of the game, especially the blockchain part as well. So if you have the desire and if you really want to do that, you really do not have to even put efforts. It'll just be a cakewalk because it's coding is just miraculous. It's a magic if you are sitting on it. So if you are really loving that, please do it. And we really need good game developers. I'm in search of good ones and great ones. We do have, but gaming is going to become a very, very prominent industry in the coming decade and so on. And we need to produce good developers out there. And hopefully, also, probably I might fail, this industry might fail. But while you do, you know, put your 10% into learning how blockchain works, not with gaming, but in general. I think that will have an extra dimension in your portfolio and can also get you more bucks because yeah, blockchain engineers or blockchain developers are paid very, very well. Yeah.
Right, absolutely. That those are good suggestions. I think they're, you know, they are planted in practicality as well as creativity. So, very good suggestions there. Now, coming to my last question, and this is something I ask everybody, Abhishek, who comes on the show. You've made like a, you know, leap from Web 2 to Web 3, from being an engineer and then perhaps moving into Web 3 as somebody who's thoroughly trying to revolutionize the gaming space. What kind of made you take that leap, and what would be your advice for people who are sitting on the fence to start living on blockchain?
I've been moved by something recently, and that man said, you know, it doesn't always has to be, you know, you have to risk it or you have to put everything into it to become successful. Sometimes it can be very calculative. You can be very comfortable and still be successful. But unfortunately, it was not in my case. Both of the things. I did risk at some point, but my change or where I am, I wouldn't say I'm very, very successful or something like that, but I'm very happy in what I'm doing. It happened because of an incident, of an accident, or let's say it happened without me knowing or without me wanting to do it. As I failed in my life, I had to take risks because the conditions during that time didn't give me a choice. No. They gave me a choice, but I chose the one which would probably had me ended in much worse conditions. But I think that's when you push yourselves to the limits and you try not to die. So that was my scenario. But it is very, very nice because Yeah, like for example, my father is a mechanical engineer and he has been all his life and he loves to be that. And he has, and I look at him and I think, how can someone be a mechanical engineer for 40 years? Because I failed as an automotive, but he loves that. And I have been doing so many stuff in my life and I failed and I got bored. And hopefully, fingers crossed, I don't get bored by this, because until now I'm finding it very wonderful and I'm loving it. And if you really think on Friday that, oh yeah, it's Friday night and Saturday I'm gonna party, sure, you must, you should, or you it's your wish. But on Sunday night, if you think, oh, tomorrow it's Monday, you should quit, right? On Sunday night, I think, oh God, it's Monday, I have to work. I'm very happy about it. So I think that's the point of your judgment, that you're doing something cool. Probably you're earning less. Who cares about that? But if you're enjoying after, see, like for example, my father, 40 years he earned. But I challenge that. If I'm doing well in this and if I'm successful, after 5 years I'll earn like he would have never imagined in his life. Yes. So that's when it happens, you know, when you do something so cool. Earnings outperform everything. So yeah, all good. So that's
Absolutely. So basically, your advice would be to love and to like what you're doing, and perhaps find joy in it, because that can be in Web 2 or Web 3, but wherever you're finding joy, just stick to that, because ultimately most of our life is spent working, and you want to make it worthwhile.
absolutely. We just think about how much I'm getting out of it. That is not going to be staying forever, because if you think like that,
Absolutely.
you might be earning, millions and billions. That's okay, but not in all cases, right? So we have to move towards the higher probability stuff.
Absolutely. A wonderful advice. Thank you so much, Abhishek, once again, for taking out the time to speak to me. I'm sure that this has been a very engaging conversation for our listeners as well. Before we close this off, any last thoughts?
Yeah, sure. I'm really do not know. I mean, who is listening to this? But I would talk more in general to what we do. I have seen, you know, there's a lot of negativity or speculations, especially in our country, also everywhere. But then it's very simple to gain confidence if you read about it, not what the news is saying, but read the technicalities of it. You will not understand, but if you read again and again, it is very easy to understand the basics. So this is a technology, and yeah, technologies have failed miserably, but technologies have changed how we live, sorry, and how the world is functioning right now. And I really believe that this tech is kind of one of the most prominent techs in the century, and it is going to last. So please do have faith, because your faith can help us grow and can help us create something better only for you. And do not get, you know, shaken up by news or any stupid telling you that it's a scam or it's not going to work. If you fall for that, then they are adding one more stupid to that list. So do not become that stupid. That's everything open source. Read about it. And I hope you know, we also include all of your listeners into our ecosystem, into our community. And the next time when I talk, we have a larger family.
Absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much, Abhishek. I'm sure that your community is going to grow and Fabric is going to do wonderfully well, considering you're in one of the more stickier businesses, right? Like gaming, get a good game and you have like a user for life almost. They'll come keep coming back to you. So more power to you and all the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sarusha. Have a good day too.